We've expressed our consent to the president as well. Obviously, our members' businesses are extremely concerned, not just with what they've lost, but with the ability or inability of government to protect assets going forward in the next few days and to curtail the sort of action. We met with the economic cluster ministers last night to try and plan some sort of collaborative effort to give them information and intelligence that we get from our members and to see if together we can't identify critical assets that must be protected. We can't get military to escort trucks to deliver critical goods. So, you know, oxygen needs to be delivered to different parts of the country. That's critical. Chlorine needs to be delivered for water purification purposes. That's critical. We continue to put pressure on government to ensure that both military and police are deployed quickly and they act swiftly and they protect those assets, economic assets and property that have not been attacked yet.
The president addressed the nation, also expressing concern, urging people not to go on rampage and attack businesses and all that. Yeah. Are you pleased with the response of the government, particularly when you called or pressured the administration to deploy military? Are your members pleased with the response of the president and his government so far?
No, not entirely, to be quite honest. We believe that the government should have acted much sooner than they did. We believe that its intelligence agency should have picked up that after the incarceration of ex-President Zuma, there were murmurings of potential actions by his supporters, which I think started this, but it's no longer that. It spread to looting and thuggery now. So I think they should have acted sooner. Even in releasing the military, they released 2,500 troops. They must release more than that.
Because a political analyst was saying that the pent-up feeling of the lockdown and the economic disparity between the widening those who have and have not was a recipe for this to happen, and that even without the incarceration of Zuma, something like that was bound to happen due to the massive economic disparity between the haves, those who are very rich, and the poverty-stricken people in South Africa. Do you think his analysis is justified?
His assertion about the massive economic disparities and so on is absolutely correct. I mean, we're one of the most unequal societies in the world. We have significant social and economic problems. And these need to be dealt with. And I mean, government and labor and business and others are we engaging all the time, and we're still engaging to see what we do about a more inclusive economy and so on. Business did in July last year present to government a detailed post-COVID economic recovery strategy that talked to how we can build a more inclusive economy and so on. But we need to create the environment for that. We need to create the environment for investment and growth. And we certainly as business don't believe we're doing that adequately. Would this have happened? I think that, look, I'm absolutely clear, personally, that there are forces at play that want to create instability for their own political purposes. I think that's how this thing started after the president's arrest. I think small groups of people in different parts of the country were mobilized to create chaos and havoc. And then once they started breaking down and they started destroying property, then ordinary people saw that there's an opportunity for them and hungry people as well, poor people to get food. I'm sure there are elements of that in there. But when you see people loading up TVs into a Mercedes and driving away, you can't convince me those are poor people.